about Ross and Patrick.
I don't care.
Yeah, like, who cares?
They obviously care about themselves, but who else do they care about?
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Maybe we'll have a guest or two.
The world's going up in flames, so, like, who cares?
Who cares?
We care.
Gross. Hey, what's up, bros? We are here for Who Cares podcast. We've been chilling on the cork, busting 900 Misty Flips.
What was that? Money Booter.
Hey, we've been kicking it off. We got some pop off the Money Booter. This is our X Games talk. Welcome to the X Games, everybody.
Wait, what is this?
This was the X Games.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
This is how we're opening?
We don't have to.
Welcome to the X Games.
Hey, what's up? I'm Devin Jones.
Should we give people... You know what? Let's... Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares.
What's up? We missed you. I know it's been a little while since our last podcast.
Oh, we're sorry.
Yeah. We're going to do better.
We're doing as best as we can.
You know what we did today that's great? Is we had a couple booked to come in and talk with us about weddings, but they couldn't make it. But we're still here recording our podcast. We showed up for ourselves today.
We were like, people would probably prefer if we had a guest so that it wasn't just us all the time. But sometimes you can't get people last minute, so you're stuck with us. It's either have an episode or have a guest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
And if you don't want to listen to just Ross and I for the next 45 hours, because that's how long this episode is.
Buckle up.
Then just turn it off and move on with your own life.
Yeah, you have a choice in this too, okay?
Yeah, don't put that on us. Don't be codependent and you live your own life.
Read
live
Codependent No More. It's a great read.
Mm-hmm.
And like... Don't put your shit on us. That's what we're trying to say, fans.
Your emotional shit. Don't put your physical scat or shit on us either.
Scat. Like you just casually threw scat in there.
Scat's in my head because of Bridget Everett.
Like, shoo-ba-da-ba-ba-dow. Yeah. Like that?
That was a very funny joke. She's like, do you like scat? And then she's jazz scatted.
Why not? Let's just talk about what the performance that we saw this week.
Yeah.
We went to go see Bridget Everett, the incomparable Bridget Everett.
Consummate performer.
What's consummate mean?
It's like very capable. When you're consummate whatever, you're very capable of doing that specific job.
Well, that's true. But I also feel like that's not even, like she's so much more exciting than that.
Yeah.
We sat front row center at Joe's Pub.
Her labia were just in our faces.
We had everything, like her nipples were in her face, her tits. The whole breast.
Full breast.
Full breast.
The cleavage in between.
Yep. Her pussy, for sure.
Uh-huh.
We never got like full labia.
No,
but
no.
I mean,
she had
underwear were right there.
Yeah, she had a substantial pair of underwear on that were not just for underwear. They were also for storage.
Mm-hmm.
There were several items that were pulled out of there to be used. Like, we don't want to give up all the surprises, but...
Yeah. But it was a purse.
Yeah.
As well as underwear.
Yeah. Which is not a bad idea for like a Sky Mall magazine product.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Purse underwear. You can put your wallet in there. You don't even have to wear pants if you have those.
But yeah, it was the first time ever seeing her perform live. We've heard about her for a long time and now she's getting some critical acclaim. And I've been meaning to go see her live for quite a while. And it was... everything I could have ever wanted and more.
Yeah. Well, maybe for our listeners, where might they have seen her?
They might have seen her on Amy Schumer, the cease to exist Amy Schumer show. I think she's in the finale of each of the seasons. She's in a great movie, which is now on Netflix, which I highly recommend, called Fun Mom Dinner.
Mm.
She's really showcased in that film. And it's a great cast of Toni Collette and Molly Shannon. So who doesn't want to watch that? She's on the Maria Bamford show, Lady Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. She plays like the funny best friend.
She plays one of her best friends.
I was going to say, I thought maybe Difficult People, but I guess that's what I'm thinking of is Maria Bamford.
I don't think she was ever on an episode of Difficult People, but I feel like she should have been because that's like the same vibe.
But she's like a comedy veteran probably of like 20 or more years or something around
the
New
York. Well, she's more of a cabaret veteran.
Right. But funny.
Yes. Hysterical.
Yeah.
But she's just such a bitch on wheels, as we love. And you know, a woman of a certain size, mm-hmm. just fucking so comfortable in her body, putting it out there.
Yeah, like a very, she's a big lady, but pure, like, sexual energy.
Yes. Like, and we were both saying how, like, it's so rare for us to see women of her size. I mean, not, like, size and stature. She's, like, over 6 feet tall and, yeah. like, a big lady yeah. all around. And, you know, the way that she just owns herself on stage is something that unfortunately we're not used to seeing. And yeah, it's like, you're fucking hot, lady.
Yeah. And she knows it.
Yeah.
She like oozes it and she knows it and she's living it. And
she's
the
like
audience,
constantly talking about how amazing her pussy is.
Yeah.
Her tits are falling out of her costume incessantly. It's amazing.
Yeah. And the room, so this was at Joe's Pub in New York City, Lafayette Street. Lafayette Avenue? What is that? It's a street,
isn't
it?
It's a street, yeah.
But it runs north and south. Why isn't it an avenue? Interesting.
I thought an avenue is if it's like split.
Like two-way?
Yeah, but like with some sort of medium in the middle.
Well, most avenues in New York City run north and south. Several of them are only one way.
That's true. That is true, yeah.
Many lanes wide.
Guys, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Anyway, we're on the thoroughfare known as Lafayette in New York City at Joe's Pub. The place is just packed with the gays. The gays come out for Bridget.
It's true.
And it sounds like there are regulars. Is it? I think it's a monthly show, maybe a weekly show.
I'm not sure how regular it is, but I know that she had a long-standing residency at Joe's Pub.
Yeah, and it seemed like people have been to the show several times.
Yes.
And it's music. She's got this amazing singing voice. It's all comedy songs.
Yeah. A lot of them are like actual songs that she's just covering.
Oh.
Because she began her career in karaoke.
Oh.
So those weren't all original tracks.
Well, I thought they were mostly original.
No.
So, but then there's like a ton of storytelling.
Yes.
And nothing ever felt like stand up to me, but like,
no.
It was all hilarious. She was hilarious. And she,
hilarious.
You know, she was gifted by the audience, this perfect character in the front row,
yes.
along with
oh
us, this guy she kept calling Harley because he looks like the classic guy who would ride a Harley Davidson motorcycle.
If anyone watches Sons of Anarchy,
yeah.
he looks exactly like one of the characters on that
oh,
show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the real like...
Who actually was like my favorite character on that show. I can't think of what his name is. The actor. He's pretty famous.
Yeah, like maybe he plays bass guitar in Motorhead or he rides a motorcycle. Bright white goatee,
yeah.
big old beer gut,
yeah.
Black
tattoos.
T-shirt. Yeah, tattoos. But she just was able to use him throughout the whole show, and it was just so fun to watch her interact with the crowd and like, she just like that's her show, and she like fills that room with her spirit, and it's like a great party.
And it's also imperfect, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's what else I love watching about her, because it's like, clearly she doesn't have it all like perfectly done, but it doesn't really seem to matter or bother her because it's still like such an entertaining show.
Yeah.
And she's so comfortable. You feel so taken care of. Like you're never an audience member that's like, oh God, like what's going to happen? Unless you're someone who's squeamish, because then you might have a problem. But like as an audience member, like, you know, like she's got it.
Yeah. Just be ready. She might grab you by the cranium and shove your face in between those mountainous tits.
Yep. Which we were hoping for, which is like why it got us those fucking seats. And
yeah. We didn't get any.
No.
No action.
No. She almost kicked our drink over a couple times because of her foot being like right
on the edge of the stage. Yeah. She, it's her world. You're just living in it.
That's right.
When you go to that show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of appropriate. We're starting this episode talking about such a spirit, of female energy,
mm-hmm.
because what we really want to talk about this episode is one of our favorite things in the world, which is drag.
That's right.
And RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
We just
drag in general, but you know how we receive it more often than not is through the show RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes. Just this week was the premiere of season 3 of Drag Race All-Stars. Is that the name of the show?
RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars.
Season 3.
Season 3.
Season Trace came out the other night.
But also support your local drag queens.
Yes. Okay? Support your local drag queens. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the show is very special to you and I.
Yes.
For a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I every time I share with somebody that I love that show, I'm always like, I always try to remember how exactly it happened that I got as into it as I am.
Yeah.
And it's definitely because of you.
Of course.
What was the...
Thank you for credit where credit's due.
What was the sequence of events? Was it... I feel like it was Paris is Burning.
Yeah, I can't remember if I made you watch that before you ever saw that show. But I definitely like made you sit down and watch Paris is Burning. And I was like, this is important. You need to see this. Yeah. You will appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you did.
Which I did. As a documentary filmmaker, I was like, I love this movie.
Yeah.
This is a great...
Cause it's very well done.
It's so well done. And I love docs where it's just about the characters. And mm-hmm. it's really like letting characters be themselves and talk the way they talk. And like long interview answers. It's so many great interviews. And... You know, there is a storyline within it,
yeah.
but it's not so much about the story. It's about these amazing personalities.
And it's not really a sequential storyline. It's just kind of like where the balls take place and where it takes these characters within that context.
Yeah.
So you loved that, which made me very happy. And I was like, I think I love this person.
yeah, this is all probably in our first year of the relationship.
I was like, check, check, check.
Maybe even first months of the relationship.
No, I think... Well, I guess maybe, huh? I, for some reason, envision us watching Paris is Burning here in our current apartment, but maybe that was like a second watch.
No, it couldn't have been because, yeah, like here was like 2 years in.
Yeah. Which I, of course, I was
it's
introduced.
It's been such a long, beautiful
Ooh.
Love affair, mm. you know? Coming up on 7 years of our
Jesus.
Super Bowl sexiversary.
Yeah.
First time we ever did it. Super Bowl Sunday.
Which makes zero sense for the people that
we
are.
We love sports. We love sports.
That's still when you were in your like, I'm like throwing parties and inviting a bunch of randos and just trying to be like a man about town.
Yeah, I had a bachelor pad. I had this huge loft in Bushwick and with a TV movie screen that would pull down off the ceiling and a projector. And yeah, I had everybody over for the Super Bowl. It was a real cast of characters. Probably 30 people I barely knew, but I told them I loved them to their face.
But anyway, let's not digress too much. My first exposure to Paris is Burning was in one of my lovely women's
Human
studies
sexuality.
Women's studies courses in college. And, you know, I've always had an affinity for drag queens through my mom, who introduced me to movies like Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Yeah, that is a family classic in your house.
Family classic, and also Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just growing up with Bowie around and stuff, like playing with gender and knowing drag queens existed has always been part of my consciousness, I feel like.
That's so interesting because it sounds like you were introduced in like a proper, fully formed way. Like you were like, it wasn't a mysterious thing that you saw and never got more information. Like for me, I can remember when RuPaul's music
oh,
video
yeah,
came out.
Oh yeah, and RuPaul being around since we were young, of course.
Yeah, like I remember that music video. I can remember seeing him on the MTV Movie Awards or Music Awards
and
or something.
And not knowing what that was.
Well, no, I guess knowing, oh, that's a guy dressed like a lady. That's weird, but it's also like oddly, like this odd turn on. But of course you couldn't say that if you're mm-hmm. in fifth or sixth grade or whatever. Like you, as a boy, you can't say like, oh, that's sexy or whatever. I just,
right.
I remember watching the video and being kind of blown away by like when I think of RuPaul, early RuPaul in my experience, I think of the white pumps. And like these sexy legs and like...
Well, was it when she was wearing that huge, like, it was like a silver costume. It was like a bodysuit that had like a cape or something, but you saw her whole leg.
I'm remembering a black and white music video where she's in a white cocktail dress.
It's her supermodel video.
Big white wig.
Yeah.
And these white pumps. And yeah, like being like kind of like confused by it and
yeah.
then you know, I'd never investigate it further. We weren't watching Tu Wong Fu in the house and processing it. So yeah, I guess it wasn't until like adulthood that
yeah.
I, you know, I remember one night drunkenly stumbling into the Chinese drag restaurant. What was that?
Lucky Chang's.
Yeah, Lucky Chang's. I remember going in there one night, like, wasted with Brett and some guys.
Of course.
And I think we, like, stood around for, like, 20 minutes, had a beer, and then left or something. Yeah. So, yeah, I never really had a full understanding of the drag scene at all.
Yeah. Which I think, but that is sort of interesting that, like, you didn't, you knew it was a guy in women's clothes, but you didn't necessarily understand it as, like, art or performance or, like, it was still just a bit of a mystery. Whereas, like, yeah. I always knew it as, like, oh, this is a thing that some people do
yeah.
as, like, an interesting expressive art form. Like, that was always very yeah. clear to me.
Yeah, and, like, you know, when you're, like, a kid and you find dirty magazines for the first time, there, you know, sometimes there were, like, trans mm-hmm. things in there or, like...
trans people, hon.
Trans, no,
I know,
trans
you mean
themes.
Like trans...
Trans themes is what I was actually thinking.
Okay.
and no, just kind of like trying to wrap a young mind around all that confusing information is challenging.
For sure. And I mean, even though that stuff was introduced to me, it wasn't like I was processing it with my yeah. family. You know, it was more just like, look at these crazy performers. It wasn't like we were having like real dialogue about gender
yeah,
or anything.
Yeah.
But still, yes, the exposure was early on. And also like, what was the other movie? My dad just brought it up the other day. Damn it. With Tim Curry as Frankenberger.
Oh, Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yes, that was like a huge movie in my house growing up too, which is like another case for like, why does my dad have such a problem with drag queens? It literally makes no sense.
Well, so you have to explain what you're saying when you say that.
So my dad, who is very in touch with his feminine side, introduced me to a lot of these things, loves Rocky Horror Picture Show, loves David Bowie. Like,
real quick, let's get current. 100% came into town this week, Wednesday night. He made a special trip into New York to go to the Demi Lovato concert.
Whatever.
He loves Demi.
No biggie.
Yeah.
He was disappointed in the performance, though.
Yeah, he didn't like the show. Loves Bowie.
Loves Bowie. Like, loves the idea of gender fuck, although he would never be able to verbalize it in that way.
Yeah. He's a very creative artistic guy.
Yes. Inspired by artistic things. Like, you know, really was the person that made me fall in love with New York. Mm-hmm. Like, introduced me to this idea of, like, all the different things that go on here. Like, we've had some very interesting artsy filled days, like in my childhood and presently. Like, he's very intrigued by all this stuff. Loves a Robert Mapplethorpe. Like,
yeah.
So anyway, but bring up like straight ahead drag queen, specifically RuPaul's Drag Race. He doesn't know what to do with it.
I've heard you say is he doesn't like them because he feels as if they're trying to trick you.
Right. Yeah. Which I guess, like, to him, Bowie and why do I keep forgetting the name of that movie?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That I guess maybe is more androgyny
yeah.
and like playing with gender and not just being like, I'm a woman.
Right.
Something about that really shuts it down for him, which I'm sure could be unpacked
yeah.
on a multitude of levels.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have to go down that road specifically, but
Assume he probably doesn't like watching a magician also, because a magician is obviously just tricking you.
Yeah, he probably doesn't like that either, which I always say I don't like magic either.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like a skeptic.
I'm a skeptic. However, unlike my father, I fucking love drag queens,
yeah.
every type, every shape, every form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is, because of that... I've always thought of it as a celebration of women. I know some women, generally speaking, do not feel that way and take it as like an attack on women. But as being a very loud, outspoken type of woman, I feel celebrated uh-huh. by drag, and I feel accepted by those types of personalities. So I've always been drawn to it and love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Lucky Chang's in high school, and it was like, I was 17, they were serving me drinks, whoops. Mm-hmm. But I like totally went like full, like dressed up, like wore a feather boa, like it was fucking Halloween going to like the drag restaurant. But it was the best time. I had so much fun. And I'm always sort of like chasing that feeling when going to drag performances, and just watching it in my home makes me feel that way. It brings me so much joy.
Yeah. And you had quite the kiki the other night watching it this week's episode.
Quite the kiki. I went to Michael Ray Solis's house, who is also a drag queen who was known as Cholula Lemon, new name, TBD.
No, I thought he had a new name.
No, he's still figuring it out. Anyway, me, Cholula, Zach, and a new friend, James, we all sat around at Michael's house and just ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-ki watching the newest premiere episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars.
I was coming down with a severe cold at an open mic, so literally in the worst place compared to the best place she was in.
It's true. We were sad you couldn't come.
We were in polar opposite environments. But then you and I got to watch together last night.
And I typically watch every episode at least 2 to 3 times when comes on.
Oh, yeah. When it first comes on. Yeah. I was going to say, because I've seen you now rewatch old seasons. Like, you must be on your 12th time of certain episodes and certain seasons.
Yeah, probably.
Which is fine. I guess I don't like rewatching a lot of stuff, but I will jump in anytime it's on because it is some of the best TV that exists.
And why is it some of the best TV that exists for you? What sucks you into it?
I think what sucks me into RuPaul's Drag Race is the same thing that sucked me into Project Runway like 10 years ago with my ex. I was living with a person who also sort of was in the fringes of fashion, and
she's got a type.
She liked watching that show, and I remember, I think, watching like 20 minutes of it and realizing, yeah, I don't care about clothes, but I've always seen myself as an artist. When I was a kid, I loved drawing and painting, and there was a time I thought I was going to go to art school. So watching people just be creative and making things, like having a vision and like creating this thing in this contest environment, and then with like lots of funny moments, it was like, I was totally on board for that. And RuPaul's Drag Race is basically Project Runway, like on cocaine or something.
Yeah.
With like way funnier personalities and way more fantastical challenges and environments.
And more than just making clothing, they have to be performers and comedians and singers sometimes and dancers and also make costumes. Like they really have to be able to, and makeup artists and hairstylists. Like, they literally have to be able to do everything.
And I remember like a few seasons ago, there were these scenes where they'd be like doing their makeup in the mirror or whatever. And like every week they would find a way to like integrate some like emotional backstory from one of the characters. So it's like documentary and it's like just real emotional stuff that gets processed. And I don't know why, but I've just always been, I always love a coming out story. Like always like just like touches, like I feel touched by that.
Yeah. And,
so yeah, it's like people being vulnerable and putting themselves out there in a creative way. I think it's just like, I love watching people. That's the other thing too, is like watching people really like connect with who they really are in a big way is just so cool to watch. Like,
well, and also there's inevitably always people that are not quite clicked into who they are, and inevitably their struggle with that is also entertaining reality TV. Yeah. Although that always makes us pretty uncomfortable when we're just like so aware of the fact that like this particular drag queen is just like painfully insecure and needs to go to therapy.
Yeah. But yeah, like there's some stuff that's so fun to hate watch, like your inner hater role
of
comes out.
And that's the real like reality TV segment, I feel like, the portion of it. But I do think I get really defensive when people dismiss RuPaul's Drag Race as just like reality TV. Like, oh, that's just trashy reality TV. It's like,
No. Yeah.
There's a lot more going on here. Like, I will be the first to admit that, like, the Bachelor franchise is 100% garbage. Not that I don't think a lot can be gleaned from what's going on there.
Oh, and stay tuned for next week when we talk about The Bachelor on ABC.
But I think that RuPaul's Drag Race is actually totally valid and relevant and, like, changing the face of television and how people see artists and drag queens and gay people. And, you know, it's reaching a lot of people in a really serious way that I'd get very offended if it's dismissed.
I'm going to probably not say this correctly, but there was some news article or some article that I came up on my phone the other day. It was some study about how young people, like young kids, like in elementary school, don't view gender the same way we did.
No, not at all.
And I think that's really interesting. Like that it's way more, just the idea that maybe they don't see gender the same way like our generation hopefully didn't see color, maybe, or that started to happen. Like,
even though that's problematic, not seeing color.
Well, then why is maybe not seeing gender is problematic then? I mean, this
is a whole other episode.
I think maybe what you're alluding to is the idea of somebody claiming to be, oh, I don't see color. Is that what you're saying?
Like, yes.
Yeah, but I think it's fair to say it's okay as a theme that that we should be aspiring to not seeing color.
I just feel like I have so many thoughts that I want to unpack on that specific thing, but that's not what we're talking about today.
Well, it's also, I just want to say, like, look, like, there's so many ways you can, like, paint yourself into a PC corner with
shit
that, like, you can't even have, like, a productive conversation about anything. I guess.
I'm not feeling a PC corner. I just don't know if I agree with you. That's all.
Okay. Well, it feels like progress is happening in the world relating to gender. And maybe there will be a perfect phrase to describe it one day where no one will be offended or triggered by it.
I'm not offended. I'm just...
I don't think you're offended.
But yes, anyway, I mean, that is a very interesting development. Like, I mean, so RuPaul started RuPaul's Drag Con over the past few years. And when you see footage from that, which is like this weekend long conference of like all the queens from the show come and there's all these different vendors and it's very like Javits Center, horrible lighting going to booths, which is why it doesn't particularly interest me. But
oh, you don't want to go to booths?
I'm not that.
You don't want to walk a booth?
I don't. You want to walk a booth?
Oh,
he's walking
a booth.
Do you know how to walk a booth? But in footage from those things, you often see that there's more and more children going, like parents are bringing their kids and like little boys and little girls are dressing up like drag queens. And like, that is remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, like that is so amazing and beautiful that like, because it's just like, it's not that serious. It is just drag, you know,
and play.
It's like, yes, it's political for all these other reasons, but it's like at the end of the day, like why shouldn't kids go see drag queens? And like, I feel like also within this same time period, there's like drag queen story hour happening in public libraries for children. And so like,
what is that?
So in Brooklyn Public Library, I'm not sure if they're doing it in Manhattan as well, but I think there's other libraries around the country where, drag queens are reading children's books to kids and their parents. And it's like marketed to families as like a time to come watch this fantastical being read children's stories, you know? And yeah, just the idea that like, I think drag as an act is like political in and of itself because it is just playing with the perception of gender and the illusion of it all, as RuPaul commonly refers to it. And but I feel like within that context, it's also the lightness of it and like everyone can enjoy the dress up and the playtime of it. It's not just reserved for gay men, although we need to like pay homage and respect to them for like doing all of that, but that it can just be this like beautiful, fun celebration of life and that gender's just like a fucking Ponzi scheme, really.
Or a construct.
Ponzi scheme.
It's a Ponzi scheme. Ponzi scheme. Yeah.
Is that a good drag name?
Ponzi.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, Ponzi scheme.
She's scheming, bitch.
I'm trying to think of what the pun, where the pun would come in.
I know, or like what the looks would be as a Ponzi
like
scheme.
Ponzi scream with like a S-K-R-E-E-M or something.
The jury's out.
Speaking of paying homage, I think yes. We should just acknowledge if you haven't seen Paris is Burning and you do love this stuff, go watch the film, because that's where so many of these like phrases and things come from, like throwing shade.
You need to know your history.
Reading.
Fundamental.
all of these things, so many of them come from that film and just get, you know, repeated over years and years and years. I mean, that was from, was that late 80s?
I think it was early 80s, actually.
So
and it was happening even before that as well. Yeah. There's also another documentary that I haven't seen yet, I'm dying to see, called The Queen, which is also about that world. But I think it's from like the late 60s, early 70s. So, I mean, this has been going on for as long as humans have been on the planet in a variety of ways. So, you know, you just got to fucking know your history and pay some goddamn respect, okay? It didn't just start now with RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, so that's a point of clarity I wanted to make sure we get to. And the other one is, let's get into some of your women's studies stuff here. So, gay man who dresses like a woman for entertainment purposes is a drag queen.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
A person who decides to change their gender entirely, become a person of the other gender,
yes,
is a trans person.
Yes, transgender or transsexual, depending on how they identify.
A person who dresses as the opposite sex as a part of a sexual turn-on is a transvestite.
Correct.
Or cross-dresser.
Correct.
And those three things, I don't know how many we mentioned, three things are pretty separate but can cross over, I assume.
I mean, it's all on the spectrum, right? Well, I mean, sure. Like, you hear about drag queens, like, fucking in drag all the time, you know? And that, like, that can be a turn on for them and for the person they're sleeping with, even though they're gay men. But I think also the one other point of clarity about transvestite is that I don't know if it's still understood as this. I've been out of the gender women's studies game for quite a while, but transvestites, I think, typically tend to be straight men, straight identifying men who play in women's clothing for sexual stimulation.
Yeah. And when I hear that, transvestite sounds like an old timey word to me. But Eddie Izzard talks a lot about it in his act. He's like a very publicly out guy who cross dresses and hysterical bits about it. You got to listen to him. But I think he has now come out as he wants to fully transition.
Really?
I think. I hope I'm not getting that wrong.
I mean, if you are, it's okay.
So it's just all very, you know, it's 2018. Things are happening.
That's right. We're here for it.
People are talking.
We are fucking here for it.
All right. So those are just some things I just want to throw out there.
Because
it is a lot of confusing stuff that it gets talked about. And it's just like, what the hell?
Well, and I think that in typical hetero culture, transvestite is used to describe drag queens or trans people. And like people that are actually in those communities understand those terms for the most part. And so they feel slighted when being called those, being called a transvestite. But also I've heard drag queens call each other transvestites as
like a throwing
shade at them. Cause it's like, oh, you're just a fucking man in a dress. Like nice try, bitch.
Well, there's also hermaphrodite, which is a biological thing,
which I don't know if they even use the term hermaphrodite anymore. I think intersexed is the appropriate term.
Intersexed?
Intersexed, yeah.
Okay.
Which is more about genitalia, where it's like you might have a variety of different sex organs or genes you're not, you don't just have one mm-hmm. particular, you're not biologically male or female.
Yeah. And side note, for this podcast, I think we will get some experts in here to mm-hmm, talk about this mm-hmm. stuff at some point.
Yes.
People who are like,
'cause we ain't
really well versed in it. And I'm, you know, I'm happy to throw myself out there as the ignorant person, just trying to figure it all out.
But I mean, that's like one of the many things that I absolutely love about you is that like you want to learn and you're respectful and you ask questions and you, I think that's just so important. Like yeah. you've always had a very genuine interest and like open-mindedness about all of this stuff. And it's never been something that I've felt like you've been like, oh God, like
yeah.
you've, which is like honestly one of the main reasons why I kind of fell for you. I feel Aww. Like, because I was like, oh, this guy, like he might look like a real bro on the outside.
What do I look like? What do I look like?
Like a real Straighty McStraterson, this but don't me, be fooled.
This is me in my Straighty McStraterson drag.
That's right.
That's all
yeah,
this is.
Day drag.
Yeah.
It's an illusion.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've gone there.
Oh, where are we gone? Where are we going?
Our wedding invitations Ooh. Sent shockwaves.
It's true.
Not shockwaves.
Not really.
I think we probably think... We think they were really cool.
We're like, we're so subversive. And they're yeah. like, ugh, Ross and Patrick at it again.
We've done drag for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I went as Marilyn Monroe 1 year and you went as my...
Date.
My date.
Your male date.
My male date. You actually pulled off the drag king look really well.
You think so?
Yeah, it was like that old timey kind of character.
Yeah.
We did that, and then there was Peg Bundy and Steven Tyler.
Yep.
Halloween.
Yeah.
I was Peg Bundy. You were Steven Tyler.
Which was obviously more of a androgynous look for me, but I do
yeah,
feel
Steven
like
Steven Tyler is just like he's just like a grandma now.
He fully looks like Katie Sagal from Sons of Anarchy.
Well, he does look like that, but he also looks like a Miami Beach grandmother who's teaching yoga class.
Yes, like you leather know? Handbag.
And, or she has like, she sells dream catchers at some
He's
kind
like,
of-
okay, down dog, loving an elevator. anyway, so then years later.
So yeah, we played with dressing up for that kind of stuff. And then yeah, for our wedding last year, we sent out wedding invitations of us in full on drag.
Which was your idea, I yeah. like to tell people.
Yeah.
Because it's true. You were like, we should do a drag photo shoot. And I was like, are you sure? And of course, because of how I am, I'm like, oh, that's gonna be so much work. Because I knew I was gonna have to like produce it.
Yeah,
basically.
But I'm glad you did, and we did spend a pretty penny on
we
doing
did.
It because we wanted to do it right.
Yep.
Because you know what a fashion shoot looks like.
I do.
And I know what it looks like when something doesn't look good.
No. Yeah, we didn't want it to be some like hokey thing. We decided we wanted it to be serious. We weren't doing like a gag, like campy drag shoot.
Yeah.
We took it seriously. We made it fashion.
Uh-huh. It was fashion. It was glamour.
And it was a lot of hard work for you. The hard work for me was getting it all organized. But then the day of, I was like just feeling myself and posing in front of the camera. But you had to work. And I think you thought it was going to be you just feeling yourself and like having fun and playing around, but
yeah.
really you had to work very fucking hard.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be just really funny, and I thought I was gonna feel funny.
Yeah.
So I hired Chuck to come and shoot video.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, we'll make like a hilarious video out
BTS.
Of this. And it's hard to feel funny when you're in total pain.
Yeah. From the ground up.
Yeah. Like my face was snatched with, and that's, that means it's a literal like structure.
You had tape with strings that the tape held the string in place on your temples so that could be pulled back.
To like yank back
so
your
snatched
face.
Snatched is also a drag term. He was snatched.
From the, yeah, so it yanks your face backward to the back
for more
of your
feminine,
skull.
For a more feminine look.
Yeah.
And it's tied in a knot behind your head and that goes underneath the wig.
Yeah. Eyebrows are glued down.
Glued down, yeah.
Wig is held on through a wig cap, which is a very tight fitting.
Well, the wig cap is on to hold those strings as well as your hair underneath.
Yeah.
just to keep everything together underneath the wig.
And it's extremely tight. It's like putting a condom over your head.
Wig caps suck.
So that's tight. And then the wig is like clipped in with some kind of clips that are like stabbing in your
skull. Bobby pins, probably, yeah.
No, I think they were barrettes or not barrettes. What are those things on your dresser right now? The with the it's like a comb is built into them or something.
Oh, yeah, a comb of some kind.
It felt like those were in there. It felt like razor. It felt like razor blades, nails, and staples were in my skull.
It was like for what, 6 to 8 hours?
It was a long time, and the makeup was sitting in the makeup chair. Oh, and I've got a layer of Spanx, a layer of stockings.
I think you had two pairs of stockings, Spanx, a waist cincher, and a bustier over the cincher. Yeah. And then we glued fake fingernails onto your fingers.
And not just like glue, not like Elmer's glue, fucking crazy glue.
Yeah, like for real nail glue that like is you're supposed to keep them on for a while.
Yeah. And they took forever to get off. And I just thought, oh, this is going to be fun. I'll feel sexy, whatever. It was brutal.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was in the worst shape of the last, like, since I've been sober. Like, I think before I got sober, I was probably in rough shape. But I was young, you know? So, like, you can drink and whatever, and your metabolism's good. But last year, I really was letting myself go. And I don't think I was in any physical condition to even just like hold my body in certain ways.
Like
all the posing, to pose and look feminine is really hard. Like it was like holding yoga poses that don't feel natural.
Yeah.
And, you know, today probably wouldn't be as
strenuous. Well, you've never held your body like that either. I mean, like we were really having to direct you to be like, gently do your hand like this, put your foot like this, hold your knees together. Like, I think you realized that you were like a lot butcher than you thought.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I do just like stand like a guy and sit like a guy. And, you know, so much of like just having your shoulders in these very subtle ways. And I don't think any of us realized that we were going to have to direct you so much. But I mean, you totally got it. It was just like, and shout out to Ben Stone, our photographer, who really did a great job of like being patient and giving you the direction that you needed for that too.
That's so interesting to be on the other side of that. Cause so many of my old jobs where you're like interviewing somebody where you know what you want them to say and how they should say it, and you kind of want to help them like sell their point or whatever. And they like don't get it. It's so frustrating. So that must have been very painful for you guys on the other side.
I don't think it was actually, because I think you were taking the direction. It was like, oh, now we realize we actually have to like literally start from head to toe and be like, do this, which Ben was actually very good at. I think a different photographer would not have gone so well.
Yeah.
So the images came out amazing.
Yeah. And then it was really fun because we sent those images around to like some friends who write, like Elite Daily ended up writing like this blog post about it. And it was fun to like talk to somebody about like what the experience was like. I think I shot off at the mouth a little too much about.
I think we both did. I think it actually came off that we were much more like highfalutin about it than we were. Like no shade to Rosebud, who wrote the article. I think it was like we just didn't realize how we were coming off.
It was
definitely not our intention at all.
I
reread it recently and I was like, oh
yeah.
Like it definitely seems real harsh, and I was just like, oh, that is not like what we had in mind.
I think we basically overspoke the point that like we wanted to like
shake things up
and provoke like family members and like get people to like open their minds or whatever.
Yeah.
And that wasn't our business.
No,
that's not our business.
We just wanted to have fun. That was like purely, it was like 50% narcissism, 50% like us just like wanting to play around and dress up.
85% narcissism.
Okay.
But then, and then our wedding itself, we had a drag queen singer the whole time, and a burlesque MC who's essentially a drag queen.
Yeah, she's a biological drag queen, basically.
Yeah, two of these huge personalities just on mic the whole time. The posters from our drag shoot were there. It was just a very, I think very appropriate wedding for our for who we are and
our
what
passions.
We love. And I think we'll talk about that. We might talk about that with the we do have a couple who's coming in. They're getting married mm-hmm. within the next year. We'll talk about weddings. Maybe we'll get more into what our wedding was like.
But I wanted to circle back to the to how much pain you were in.
Oh.
Because I think that also brought another layer of you really appreciating drag queens in general, and then also watching the show religiously as we do, that it's like, it's a lot of fucking work.
Oh yeah.
Like, and what they're putting themselves through just all the time. Like every night these queens are out for their gigs doing what you did that one day. And you're like, that was fucking torture.
Yeah. And to a certain degree that women do every day.
Of course.
But a drag queen is doing what a woman does, like, probably times 20. Like, I bet you could literally, like, a scientist could literally weigh how much makeup the average woman puts on every day and then weigh how much makeup a drag queen puts on at night. It's probably 20 times as much makeup.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not doing, a drag queen life on the daily. Yeah, or even at, like, my most gussied up.
But yeah, some women do. Watching them do their own makeup is amazing. Like, that's... That
it's professional level makeup.
Yeah, it's... I mean, some of them need a lot of help, but...
Ooh, it got shady in here.
Oh, excuse me.
The library's open.
Yeah.
He does drag one time.
Yeah, now mansplaining, beating the face.
Which, should that bring us to maybe just talking a little bit about the newest season?
And let's get into our review section. We're going to now be a review podcast.
I mean, it's my dream.
Recap and review of reality TV.
So we watched it together last night. And yes, that was technically the third time I'd watched that first episode. Uh-huh. The second time, though, really was on in the background while I was just hanging out at Michael's house.
Yeah.
But we took some notes, too. Yeah.
But just to clarify, this is RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars Season 3. So what that means...
Which is on VH1.
Yeah. And it's characters who have already been on the show.
Yes.
So it's people returning.
It's like the
to
best
compete.
Of.
Yeah.
Yes. Like any All-Stars franchise in any reality show.
So we know these queens already. We've met them. We love them.
We already have our favorites. Like, we know who we love. We know who we're rooting for. We know who we're disappointed by. If you're not watching it, you really should be. And actually, it would maybe be a good... introduction to the franchise of RuPaul, because it's like some of the best queens.
Yeah, and in fact, the first thing you see on this first episode is a very funny sketch. It's a spoof of The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes, yes,
that's
I
really
love that
funny.
They're bringing in like current events, like women's issues,
pop culture,
making fun of The Handmaid's Tale.
And that was Alaska and Chad Michaels, right?
Yes, it was Alaska Thunderfuck and Chad Michaels, two previous winners of All-Star Season 1 and 2.
Is it fair to say Alaska's your favorite queen? For a while, she was.
She was for a while. But I will say that Trixie and Katya, who have a show on Viceland called The Trixie and Katya Show, they're really... Their humor just takes me to a place.
I do feel like we've become a Trixie household.
Well, that's who we're supporting for this season. So Trixie Mattel is our pick to win. Or should I just say mine?
I mean,
I'm going to say mine.
Yeah.
She's my pick to win. I don't know if she's going to, but I would like her to, because I just love her so much. And I just think she's so smart and funny.
Here's a point of clarity or question I have. So when referring to a queen as their stage name, do you say she and her pronoun wise?
Yeah, but I also feel like I jump back and forth all the time.
Because RuPaul goes by he and him.
They all go by he and him. None of them want to be women everyday life. There are some that have transitioned, and Peppermint on last season was a queen that was a trans woman who also did drag, which is like its whole other... thing to talk about. But I think it's like pronouns are very fluid for a lot of queens.
For drag queens. But pronouns are very important for other people.
Of course. Yeah. But I think within that world, there are certainly are some queens that are like, when I'm not in drag, I'm he, I'm this person, like, do not talk to me. But a lot of queens just go by their drag names in and out of drag, because that's how everybody knows them. So I mean, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I catch myself going back and forth between she and him all the time yeah. when I'm like talking about these people.
I had to bring up a comedian recently as they, and that was a challenge to remember
yeah.
in my head. Don't say she.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
say
yeah.
they and keep it
moving.
Simple and direct.
Yes. Yeah, because like who cares, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like
who
they,
cares?
Like why would you care? It's good that you're remembering to just say it that way, but
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, why do you care if whatever they want to be called, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we had our opening packages, right? And the queens I thought had the best looks were Milk.
You're talking about the entrances
yes.
into the workroom.
Yes, into the workroom.
Yeah, Milk looked amazing.
Doing like a denim Pinocchio, as yeah. he called it.
Is that what he said? I didn't catch that.
Yes, he said denim Pinocchio.
Denim Pinocchio. yeah, Milk, very artistic
high fashion.
Wouldn't you say Bowie-esque? No, it's like silly. It's silly and like, it's like Salvador Dali.
Oh, okay.
it's fashion. It's model looks.
And he's like in the fashion world and
costume.
Like
he had a look on his season where he was pregnant.
Yeah, just
on stage.
Like that was just part of the yeah. persona.
Yeah.
So I think Milk and Trixie had the best.
Yeah.
Like opening looks.
Yeah.
Trixie was as a like roller Barbie kind yeah. of like came in on rollerblades, which was hilarious.
Which I love because rollerblading has a very special
that's right.
place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring rollerblades to the party and we're friends.
She's in.
Yeah.
She's in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kennedy's wig. Kennedy Davenport.
Yeah. Kennedy Davenport is 5'9", but with that wig, 8'10".
Insane. And let us also just preface, like, if you haven't watched the show, like, we can't just like keep being like, okay, and then this, like, we're not going to clarify so much. Like, either you watched no. or you didn't, like, come along for the ride, watch it, and then come back to this portion, whatever yeah. you feel like doing. But I'm going to talk as if you've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. Kennedy's wig, my God, it was like an atomic blast
yeah.
really had gone off on the top of her head.
Well,
it was Hiroshima, realness.
When you're Newark, LaGuardia, Kennedy, Davenport, you need one of those towers, radar. You need a radar tower.
Which I guess she was going for like, I'm a disco ball, but also I'm holding a disco ball as a purse. Or maybe I'm just reminding you that I'm a disco ball.
Like shine a light on me, I will reflect that.
Yes.
And then later in the episode, after he was changing out of his disco ball looks, he's just got like spots of glue all over his face.
Yeah, so he looked diseased.
Yeah, it was like a burn victim.
Poor Kennedy. We also have what do we have?
I don't know. I don't know. You're looking at a list that I'm not looking at.
Chi-Chi Devane.
Uh-huh.
Who is also a fan favorite. So mm-hmm. charming. Southern Belle. Was just really
just she's a train wreck.
It was a disappointment.
Yeah,
like she looked better honestly to me when she came out her season in a dress that she made out of trash bags.
Yeah, Chi-Chi has the Adore Delano problem of like everybody loves her and she's so talented.
She's
funny. So
funny,
she thinks,
smart dancer.
So she thinks she doesn't have to work that hard, she doesn't hit.
She doesn't execute well.
Yeah.
Like I think her taste level is not as high as some people's.
Right.
But I think it could be. I just think that she thinks that of herself. And so she like doesn't know how to fucking execute. She's wearing goddamn Party City top hat that kept falling off her fucking head as
yeah.
her entrance.
Yeah,
like no.
This piece of plastic.
We're
top
on All Stars. What
yeah.
are you doing?
Yeah, this is a zero stars look.
Oh,
we need
it was
all the
so
stars,
bad. It really was so bad. Morgan McMichaels, or as you like to call him,
Mackenzie McElmore. Mackenzie McElmore, Morgan McMichaels, David Johansen from the New York Dolls.
That's right.
Really just freaking me out.
Yeah.
Just
I mean,
the vibe was weird.
Spoiler alert, we were happy that she was the one to go home.
Yeah, I don't care about spoilers. This early in the season, who cares who goes home first?
But she was talking a lot of shit, and that's what ended up fucking biting her in the ass, and she went home.
You know what she was like? Like, our last season with Trinity, I was like, ugh, this person is just too much, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
She reminded me a lot of Trinity in that way. So maybe if she stuck around, I'd get to like her.
Yeah, because we loved Trinity by the end.
Yeah, but Mackenzie Morgan. Morgan McMichaels is her name?
Morgan McMichaels,
a little
yeah.
too much tuna for me.
Yeah, even like Morgan McMichaels. Like, what is that name?
Yeah.
It's like Devin Logan.
Devin Logan, bro. We're also watching the X Games this morning, so we're just talking. That is a real journey we took. In the last, here, well, I'm sick.
We can have it all.
For
okay?
some reason, I'm sick again. So the last 24 hours, I've watched a real range of programming. I watched several JFK assassination documentaries last night.
And then I came home.
And then we watched RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. And then this morning, we watched the X Games.
Which, like, we like watching some skiing, as it turns out. We are white people. So, you know, occasionally we like to sit down and really, like, roll around in our whiteness.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Literal whiteness.
Literal whiteness. Snow, white people, skis, you know. Devin Logan.
Morgan McMichaels really did set herself as unlikable, set herself up as unlikable, though, in that conversation with Ben de la Creme about, oh, well, I would send home my biggest challengers, blah, blah, blah. So whatever. If you're hearing hater aid in our voices about Mackenzie McElmore, that's why.
The other thing I've had it with is Thorgy Thor's dreads.
Yeah,
I think it
let's
is,
update our looks. You're not in Burlington, Vermont anymore.
Which we're not seeing her dreads in drag, but we are, though, because
she puts on these massive wigs.
These wigs are just, I think that they're really making her shoot her look in the foot. Like, I think she could have some really fucking elevated looks because I think her dress is pretty cool most of the time.
Yeah.
But then her fucking wig game is like so off because it's like, has to be manipulated around this fucking set of white people dreads.
Yeah.
Stuffed underneath.
And he's like probably 6'4" or something. He's like a really tall
you
guy.
You know what's so interesting? I did not realize he was that tall. And my new friend James, who I met at Michael's house the other night while watching the show, knows Thorgy and said that he is like 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
And I didn't realize he was that much of a tall drink.
Well, I feel like you can tell that because like when he's on stage
those
in drag,
stems.
It's just, he's so tall. It's so massive. So yeah, it would be fun to see him in like a petite wig of some kind.
Well, because I feel like he could be really glam, but it's like the wig always sort of fails him.
Yeah.
It's
like that his entrance look with that like, that Raggedy Ann.
It was horrible.
Wig.
It just looked like a dome.
Too
it was like
campy.
Yeah, it was like a fucking conehead. I was like, if he had come out in some like big, beautiful, glamorous wig or even like an afro or something, I feel like that would have made more sense than like whatever that fucking Raggedy Ann conehead situation was.
I think with dreads, it's like if you have them, you've committed like 10 years of your life to getting them.
I know. They don't want to let go.
Like, I can't like change this now.
But you can.
But you can.
Lob them off, baby.
Lop or lob?
Lob. It's a lop, lob. It's a lop, lob. Uh-oh. My notes
em.
Closed. Oh, God.
Ross is opening her phone to get back to these really insightful points we have.
I know.
About
they're
the
not
show.
Insightful at all. Milk is going full vill.
Yeah. Milk is like kind of a hater this season.
But I did read somebody was saying about that on the interwebs that like, really all drag queens talk like this. We just haven't heard Milk talk like this. So it feels like she's being a total cunt.
Yeah. And Milk has become sort of a darling in the fashion world.
It's true. She's got a lot more confidence.
Yeah. So she's like,
so I'm not writing her off. I'm like, if you want to be a little bitchy, a little catty, like yeah. that's within the realm of reason.
And she didn't really say anything that wasn't true or understandable.
Yeah.
So
we're not saying full vill yet.
Yeah.
So everybody calm down. Okay. Yeah. Just a term I really loved that RuPaul brought into the vernacular. Henemies.
Yeah. What was it? When did
Which
he
is
say
a combo
that?
Of honey and enemies.
Yeah. Your
so
henemies.
Your henemies.
It's like a frenemy, but somebody that's kind of sweet sometimes.
Henny.
Excuse me, honey. Could you pass me that butter?
It's
oh,
like
you
I know we're henemies.
Well, now you're my henemy.
That's right. I just liked it. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I wrote down, because apparently I just stopped writing notes, was hating on Vanessa Hudgens during her commentary, which was her saying, "I'm like so into voguing right now," which I was just like, "Oh, you're so basic."
Yeah. And which
and
then
you, and you, of course, came to her defense, because you always come to the wrong person's defense, but go on.
No, I'm just pushing back on this, because here's the thing with any like marginalized subculture, which drag still is, like, yes, if you go to, I don't know, Michigan, to some suburb, and you're like,
yeah,
"Hey,
fuck you,
I'm a drag queen," they'll be like, "What are you doing here?" You know, I don't know, whatever.
Yes.
Vanessa
Hudgens.
Let her speak the way she wants to speak about it, because then she's like normalizing and destigmatizing.
I don't agree.
The what she's talking about to her fans. You know?
I don't agree.
And what she was commenting on was Aja's incredible dance,
yes,
runway.
Yes.
She came out full voguing, full Willy Ninja, crouched down low.
It was kicking
her feet out.
Her vibe was very Willy Ninja at moments.
And it was a really great, it was a great routine. And like, when people hear the word Vogue, they think of Madonna, right?
Yes.
And they think of her. I mean, Madonna was
An appropriator.
She, yeah, was. So
House of Extravaganza taught her all she knows.
Why not let Vanessa say, "Oh my God, I'm..." Because what I perceived her saying was like,
"I'm being harsh.
I'm just now discovering voguing."
Sure.
"I'm now investigating voguing. I'm so interested in voguing right now." So blah, blah, blah. I think what you heard was, "I'm all about voguing now, and I really loved watching you." I don't know that
it's like an old tradition that like goes back several decades.
Yeah, which I don't think you can tell whether or not she was saying it that way.
All right, fine. On to our next point.
Our next point was about the other incredible runway routines.
It was a variety show competition. Like, yeah, that was like the challenge for this episode, was everybody was like doing their talent.
Yeah. And I just want to shout out Kennedy Davenport. Good God. Just an amazing routine. I did not know she was capable of moving like that.
Yeah, because her body does not read athletic dancer.
No. And it wasn't even, I guess athletic is the word. It was like high impact.
It was
like, it was like watching an MMA fighter wrestle no one. But like, in a really kind of cool, hot way. Like,
sure.
I forget what the song was.
So many high kicks.
Oh, yeah. The kicking and the...
It was violent kicking. Like, she was hitting herself in the face, which I guess is your... She was wrestling herself, ultimately.
Yes, and that's what we're all doing, day in, day out.
Oh, that's dark.
She, like, body slammed herself onto the ground, just legs wide open.
Wow. Yeah. It's like just jamming their fake pussies into the ground, mm-hmm, like with these fucking death drops and splits.
Oh, my God. Aja's death drop off that box.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talent.
Aja is really pulling herself together.
She is. And she's giving funny commentary in between. Yeah. Like, I'm into it.
Aja is a Brooklyn native.
Brooklyn queen.
You've seen her around, right?
I have not seen her live, no. I saw her on the subway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You've literally seen her around.
Yeah, she was sitting across from me on the subway one day. I was like, "Oh, look at you. You're cute."
Yeah.
She was singing to herself, too, like really feeling it on, listen to her iPhone.
This is the first time I'm hearing traffic on
the mics. What a motorcycle gang. My God. I will say I'm getting tired, and yeah, I don't know how much more I can talk about the show, even though I feel like I could always talk about the show, but I feel like we've hit our quota.
Well, who cares about anything
else?
Right, it's
true. And we'll certainly be talking about the show again. It's not ending here.
We'll keep revisiting. You guys send us questions or tweets or Instagrams about what you think of the show.
Yes, please rate us, review us, subscribe us.
Yeah.
Start watching RuPaul's Drag Race so that you too can have fun with us on this journey, because we will be chatting about it as the season continues. Uh-huh.
This and The Bachelor, we are fully in.
So get into got to get into these reality TV shows if you really want to engage with your Who Cares companions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Who Cares Companions? That's a good name for our fans.
Oh my God, Who Cares Companions?
Hi, I'm a Who Cares Companion.
Hanemy.
No, we don't want hanemies.
No,
do we
don't want hanemies, but I'm sure we'll have some.
Oh, we're going to have some hanemies.
Hun, pull your fucking undies up, would you?
I am sitting here in a pair of boxer shorts and a long sleeve tee. My hair looks terrible.
No,
who cares?
It doesn't look terrible, but it's fluffy.
Actually,
we're both in like gray loungewear right now.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh. Heeny. Yeah.
Sweatpants.
Heenies. All right, I'm done. Guys, thank you for listening. I know this has been an interesting journey, but we hope you've enjoyed the whole thing. So love you.
Bye-bye.
Maybe that's the ending. It's me being like, bang, 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 bang.